Amen indeed. Don Whitehouse, thank you. What a gift. It's been a number of years since you sung solo other than on Christmas Eve. What a gift it is. Thank you. And Matt, beautiful this morning. Perfect, it seems to me, for this Sunday before school starts. And the truth is, I could find occasion for the words and the questions that are going to follow in my sermon message this morning on almost any given Sunday, probably on any given day, so I don't really need to spend a lot of time justifying why we'll be reading this psalm on this Sunday. But this particular Sunday is what drew me to Psalm 131. So let me explain just a little bit briefly. It's the last Sunday of the unofficial summer that we've come to know to be bound by the last day of one school year and the beginning of another. It's not the calendar summer, far from that. We have three Sundays left in that summer. But even if you're not students or don't have students in your family anymore, you once were one of those, student or parent of, or both of them. And we still, to one degree or another, order our lives, our vacations and our work, our sleep, our waking hour, our activities, our clubs, transportations, and sporting events around the academic calendar. And this Sunday, as I noted with Lily and with Cole, is the last Sunday of the summer for Oldham County and Jefferson County public school students. All their heads just dropped. Our college students, our university students, if they haven't started already, do soon enough begin in the weeks ahead. So I've been thinking about that, which is to say I've been praying about that this past week. So pray with me now. Gracious God, we do pause to pray, to remember the months past, but to bring our hearts and our minds to these moments present. We ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we're going to get to that scripture, Psalm 131, in just a moment, but first, the summer 2018 passed. I want you too, as Lily and Cole and I did moments ago, to think back over this past summer, back to late May or early June. What promises did this summer hold for you? What tasks were you supposed to accomplish? What hopes did you have for these fleeting months? What were you waiting to finally get done now that you had the time? Who were you excited about seeing, or where did you anticipate going? And what percentage of all those dreams were realized? How many weren't getting to Florida? Why or why not? This summer passed. I was looking at the lectionary readings this past week, the readings for this morning, in part because I know that Wayne Willis, our guest preacher last Sunday, always follows the lectionary, so I was curious as to what would be next. And I was drawn to the lectionary psalm for this morning. That was actually Psalm 130. In it, the psalmist sings as he waits for divine redemption. But as I finished reading that, my eyes moved further down the page of my Bible to Psalm 131. This song of quiet trust. And I read something, thinking about this summer, that made my heart move a bit differently. The confidence in the Lord that Psalm 131 articulates, and its final refrain to hope in the Lord, make it a companion piece to Psalm 130. Actually, it's got a lot of companions. It's part of a collection in our Psalms known as the Psalms of Ascent. They include Psalm 120 through 134. These are thought to have been used by those making their regular pilgrimage to Jerusalem. So my rationale for reading 131, while it's not in the lectionary, it was a psalm that was part of a larger group of a passage that was in the lectionary, so that's how we got here. Did I say it would be brief explanation? So let's finally read our scripture this morning. It is Psalm 131. It's on page 574 in the Old Testament portion of your pew Bible. And I want you to get that out because I want us to read these three verses together. Psalm 131 on page 574 in your Bible. Go on, take them out, dust off the Bible that they're in the pew. Anyone bring their own Bible still? I don't know. All right, Mary, you've got yours. I don't know what page it'll be, but Psalm 131, right after Job and right before Proverbs and Isaiah and Jeremiah. Now, as we prepare to read this morning, these words, this song of quiet trust, as they land on your ears, these verses, consider the summer past. Go back in your own minds to a few of the questions that I asked earlier and any others that you've thought of this summer. What promises did it hold? What tasks was it supposed to accomplish? What hopes did you have for it? What did you accomplish? Let's read Psalm 131 together. Join me. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, my soul is like the weaned child that is with me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time on and forevermore. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Keep that psalm marked in one way or another. We'll come back to it later. For all of its intense brevity, these three verses are a poem of deep emotion. And they've been fascinating to me this week. What were your hopes for the past months, and how are we feeling as these months, this summer, draws to a close? You see, it turns out that this psalm isn't as simple as it appears or as it sounds. This psalm can either be a quiet statement of assurance that we hear at first, a testimony that no matter how anxious we may feel, trusting in the Lord will calm us, or it could be the, quote, subdued cry of resignation over a life of unrealized ambition, end quote. It could be a statement of profound sadness. Let's consider that first. Take a look at verse 1 in that Bible, that verses that you just read. The NRSV, New Revised Standard Version, translation, uses the adverb too, T-O-O, three times in this verse. Too high, too great, too marvelous. But that adverb, I'm told in my many commentaries, is really not supported by the original Greek text of this psalm. That adverb is not actually there. In other words, the translators put it there to interpret this message in the way they thought it was intended. Every translation is an interpretation. And if you remove this word for the translation we have, the mood of those verses subtly but very certainly shifts. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised high. I do not occupy myself with things too great or marvelous for me. I'm not sure if you heard it. Instead of being an affirmation concerning the psalmist's humility, too high, too great, too marvelous, these verses become a statement of regret, if not very real mourning. The psalmist has been beaten down. Her head is sunken into her chest, and deep reflection has been abandoned. You go on in this passage, reading it this way, verse 2 becomes more ironic. Take a look at that as I paraphrase it a bit. My soul is as calm and quiet as a 2-year-old child. In other words, not quiet at all. Right? Asia? Yeah? Why in the world would this psalmist choose a small child as a metaphor for tranquility? Unless a recently weaned child in Israel of old is vastly different from the modern terrible twos, quietness and peace are the last qualities you'd associate with it. So as we keep up with this way of reading the psalm, we could have something like, I am beat down, O God, by all the force of life. I'm not interested in great or marvelous things. I've tried to hold back my emotions, but my heart is sobbing like a child. Verse 3 is the only hope then. A hope based on the realization that there's nowhere else to turn but to Yahweh. And so, is that it? Is that your answer to the end of summer question as you think back over these past months? Is yours a psalm of lament? O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised high, I do not occupy myself with things great and marvelous, I'm calmed and quieted like a two-year-old with its mother. My soul is like a two-year-old that is with me, I'm beat down and I didn't even get done what I set out to do. It's possible, this reading, having explored that a bit this past summer or any of our days not fulfilled as we had hoped. But there's another way of reading and hearing. There is another alternative. Perhaps after these summer months, you hear and understand this psalm indeed as a song of quiet confidence and joy. And if so, then verse 1 affirms the absence of our own inflated ego, the own inflated ego of our heart. If so, then we're aware of personal limitations and we try to live our lives within the limits that are set for us. If so, then we don't need constant assurance to fend off our despair. We appreciate our own worth before God and we recognize our own humanity. And our own mortality. Any guesses as to which interpretation I'm hoping for you, for us all? If we keep the adverbs that have been added to verse 1, too high, too great, too marvelous, then we're singing out that we've not tried to be something that God did not intend for us to be. And a marvelous peace may settle in on us like the peace that ensues when a small child is with its mother. The inevitable God-given consequence of a mother's cradling of her child is peace in the child's heart. So too we find peace and tranquility when we understand our relation to God and to the larger world. Is that it? Is that your answer to my end of summer questions? As you think back over the months past, is yours a psalm of quiet assurance and peace? Because if so, the peace that reading this psalm in this way offers us generates a hope for all of us that lies ahead. If so, the final verse then urges every one of us to live our lives accordingly, in hope from this time on and forevermore. I'll leave it to you, of course, to determine your own interpretations of this past summer, or of any time in your life that you wish to measure, months or weeks or days or hours, agitated and troubled, or calm and quiet. As I look out over all of you, this congregation, I'm profoundly humbled by the depth and the breadth of life, the life that this community shares with me and with one another, from the heartrending to the heartwarming and everything in between. I know there is more to the answer than one answer to that question of how did your summer go? Before we end our meditation this morning, one more thought then. And this thought requires us to read our psalm one more time. I want you to take that back out. Page 574, Psalm 131. And I want to read it in this way. Men, I want us to read verse 1. Women, to read verse 2. And then all of us to join together in verse 3. So men, let us begin. Verse 1 of Psalm 131. Join me. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me.
That I am calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time on and forevermore.
The word of the Lord once again. Thanks be to God. That was nice, wasn't it? I always appreciate the different resonances that our gender-specific readings offer, and I anticipated that this morning. You may have heard a little earlier in my words, my message, this sermon, that I used a feminine pronoun for the psalmist, for the psalm we read this morning. In a deeper exploration of this passage, almost all of the writings on it noted that a straightforward reading of the last part of verse 2, something closer to my soul within me is like a weaned child, a deeper reading suggests that the psalmist is almost certainly a woman. Men just simply wouldn't have understood the contentment of a weaned child. They wouldn't have been around for that event. But we can certainly imagine this woman, this mother, singing her song as she carried her young child on her way up to Jerusalem. These words, you see, give us a glimpse of the beginnings of women's experience of equality in God's sight. As Jesus proclaimed and personified the reign of God, he embodied that experience. We need not be something that God did not intend for us to be. We are all equal in God's sight. And a peace that passes understanding settles upon us. No one of us, whether gathered, agitated, troubled, or calm and quiet, is more dear or more cherished in God's sight than any other. And so we sing this psalm. Our hearts are not too lifted up. Our eyes are not raised too high. We do not occupy ourselves with things too great or too marvelous for us. Rather, we have calmed and quieted our souls. We'll continue this morning's fellowship after worship in a time of breaking bread and eating at table together in our annual church picnic. We'll pray for the summer past, and we'll pray for all that lies ahead for us as a community. From this time and ever forth, we pray that it may be so, calm and quiet our souls. Amen.